Hey everybody, welcome back. This is the Music Money Makeover Show. What episode is this? Is it six, seven? Episode six, episode seven? I'm not sure. One of those episodes. Anyway, welcome back, you all. The topic of the show today is synchronization licenses 101. All right, so this is the first set of like episodes that I'm going to do that centered around synchronization licenses. Okay, this is the hot topic. Everybody wants to know about this and how you can get into this side of the game. This side of the game is on the surface level, it's very easy. Seems easy. To get your stuff together for it is pretty simple. To get into this game on this side of it can prove to be very difficult. So anyway, to not discourage you, I just want to hop into it and we're gonna get into some things around these licenses. All right. So once again, welcome back to the Music Money Makeover Show. Quick announcements. If you are in Atlanta this weekend, but on September 19th, that is a Thursday, you can catch me speaking at Ponce City Market at the General Assembly, okay? This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. here in Atlanta. It's completely free and it's sponsored by Fiverr.com. All right, I will leave a link in the description of this video, and then I'll also have it on my page as well for everybody on Instagram and everybody on Facebook. You all can go and click that link. Come see me Thursday down at Ponce City Market in Atlanta, Georgia, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Songwriter Social Fresh and Local event. All right? The new ebook is coming soon. All right? So be on the lookout for that. It's being proofread and being edited and going through all this stuff. There's a couple more things I'm going to put with it and a couple more how-tos I'm going to add to the ebook. So look out for that. That's on the way. Also, you can listen to this podcast, all right? Every day after, the day after it comes out, or the day after I do the stream, you can check it out on Spotify, all right? And then also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at CaseyGraham_24 and at District24 Music. All right, so today's show, I want to go ahead and hop into it, right? Today's show is going to be a little short. And the reason why I say it's going to be a little short, because sync licensing is not that hard, right? When we're talking about the operations of it, okay? And how it actually works when it comes to the contracts of it. Today, we'll be talking about the contracts of it. That's why I called it 101. Now, actually doing it, actually getting out there and making the licenses happen is a whole nother ballgame, okay? So let's go ahead and jump into it. All right. Synchronization licenses are licenses that sync music with TV, film, like audio visual works. You know what I'm saying? To be really frank with it, to have a cool definition of it. These licenses are only meant for the work to be broadcast over the air. And I think that a lot of people don't quite understand that's what the sync is for, okay? So to all of my movie producers out there, my content producers out there, I want you all to understand that you have to have this license, okay, in order to sync your stuff to the picture. Now, we're not talking about where it will live after the picture is done, after it lives in its first home, whether it be in the theater or whether it be on television. What we're talking about is just getting the contract done to have it synced, okay? All right, that's what the license is for, all right? So let's dig into it. A separate license, just like I said, is necessary for the work to be distributed in a tangible video form. Now, the old school cats back in the day, or who've been in LA for so long, has been doing it since VHS days or even before that, even the laser disc days, they call it a videogram. It's funny how you have Instagram, but then the license was called a videogram license. But this takes care of what happens to the song after it's synced to picture, and you have to put it on Blu-ray, or you send it off to Netflix after it's done, or the purpose of putting it on Netflix in the beginning, all right? That's the front. I'm getting you all into what the contract is. And a lot of these sync license contracts are one pagers. They're really simple to read. A lot of times you don't even need a lawyer for the most part, especially when you're doing television. A lot of times, you know, common sense, you can walk yourself through a sync license if you understand publishing, okay? All right, so synchronization licenses are derived from the copyright owner's exclusive right of reproduction. Just a little footnote right there so you understand that when you have your copyright, you have that right of reproduction, okay? And sometimes it could be from the first use, but not really, all right? So, quick little history lesson. I want to bring this back so you can understand where some of the royalties will come from. And then we're gonna move it up forward, all right? So it's gonna be a quick show tonight. Real quick, because I have a lot of things on the back end that I'm doing with this library. I'm getting everybody that's submitting music to me, we're putting them in place so they can be put onto television and into movies. So I thank you for the submissions. I have been overwhelmed with the submissions, all right? But we're getting them to places where they can be placed, all right? So I'm glad I'm doing this show because I can really show you what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. All right, so let's go back, little history lesson. 1926, I don't know if you all remember a couple streams ago, we talked about the history of publishing, but we're going back to 1926 and then we'll jump forward. I'm not gonna take you down a memory lane trip with this, but 1926, Jack Warner of Warner Brothers Pictures displayed the first Vitaphone film. All right, now if you don't know what a Vitaphone film is, it's back in the day when, not even back in the day, but now, you have the film and it has the sprockets on the side of the film. In that film, the audio was laid on the film with a photon light. So it would project just like you would see, like if you hold a negative up to the light and you see the pictures in the negative on the side of the film, the audio waves would be there from a photon light filter just beaming it onto the film, okay? So that's what it was. It was a whole system that Warner Brothers brought in and they had to wire up theaters because at the time, theaters did not have speakers to reproduce sound. They just didn't. They had silent pictures or they had somebody playing a piano along with it live. You had live musicians to play along with the film. But nobody had ever thought about putting this together with the audio on the film at the same time the film was going. So this is what a Vitaphone film was, all right? What's significant about this is the fact that this is a disruption in the industry, okay? And it caused people to protest the fact that they were breaking the silence on films. Everybody wanted silent films. You know how you have the purists in hip-hop music or R&B music, and they say that, oh, well, you know, it doesn't have that thing like it used to have. But every generation always has a purist form of some sort, okay? And this is what that was at that time, all right? And with this protest and disruption, this brought on the popularity of the films because it was a hit sensation of audiences. Warner Brothers is breaking into a lot of areas where they would generate new money, okay? And because other studios started to see where Warner Brothers started making a lot of money, they said, all right, we'll bandwagon on this. Let's see how it goes. We think it's a fad. We're not sure, you know. People are still watching silent films, and Warner Brothers says, nah, like, we're going to make this happen. This is a thing. Like, this is going to happen. So in turn, this creates a demand for the music and the production companies, right? So the production companies then start buying up the publishing companies. Now, a couple weeks ago when I went through the memory lane of music publishing, you noticed that it stopped with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is the gangster of all gangsters when it comes to this stuff, okay? And they, in turn, become the first people to really start buying production companies because they see the need for music and film. And film always has the bag. Everybody talks about chasing the bag. Film always has the bag, all right? So Warner Brothers starts buying up all these publishing companies because they need the music and the film. So independent publishers begin to license music directly. If they didn't buy them, they said, they came to the production company and said, can we license directly to you, okay? And this now, at this point, we're still in 1926, becomes the synchronization license. We're syncing the audio from the music to the film. And be clear, in 1926, they didn't even have dialogue yet. It was just music for the film. But this is how we get our synchronization license, okay? Now, we need a royalty at this point, because let's say if we're gonna put the music in the film and we'll get paid, then another organization in that same year decides to creep in. Guess who that is? This is ASCAP. ASCAP in 1926 says, hey, movie theaters should be required to pay a license fee, because if the publisher's song is in the film, then it's being performed in a theater, which in turn requires a license. Now, they put the synchronization license together and what we call now the back end, just get paid on the back end. They put the sync license together and the performance license together, and all of this happens in 1926, in 1 year, all right? Now, thus we have, from there, pretty much our modern day synchronization license, okay? So, from that, let us now begin. Let us jump into it. The 4 points of a synchronization license, all right? And I wanna let you all know, if you have questions on this about putting music into television and film, go ahead and drop some questions, and I will get to them as we go through this. Everybody on Instagram as well, go ahead and drop some questions. I'll answer them, I'll come back to them. But as I go through this, if you hear anything that may confuse you, drop some questions in the comment section, all right? So we're gonna jump on the fee structure. And I got a couple things. Let me bring up my Excel spreadsheets for these cue sheets so you understand. Okay, fee structure. The synchronization fees issued by motion picture companies or television production companies are usually going to be a flat fee. That's true, okay? I want you to understand that. They have these fees set for certain usages, but I don't want to jump ahead because these usages, I'm going to get into them in a minute, but they have these flat fees set for the certain usage of the music or how it's going to be used. One thing you cannot forget is that this does not cover the distribution of the song in tangible form, which is issued by the Videogram license, like I said in the beginning. All right. Also, then another royalty must be paid for its performance on the platform that it is displayed on. Most of this is usually written up in the same agreement. Like I said, you put the back end, if it's going to go to Blu-ray, DVD, Netflix, Hulu, let's say it comes out in the theater first, or it's on television first and then they syndicate it with Netflix and Hulu, meaning that it's going to leave one home, its initial home, and go to its next home. Okay, you want to put that in the contract with the initial sync and the performance license. Boom, bam, all three of those in the agreement at one time. Okay, and It'll be quick and to the point. A lot of synchronization licenses, like I said, are one pagers. All right. So that's the fee. Now let's talk about the value of the song. All right. And then we're going to jump into its intended use and the scope of the intended use. Okay. So the value of the song. So if you want to determine the value of the song, it should be based on the mentality of the fact that, like I say, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Also, Pennywise, pound foolish. If you understand what I'm saying, the publishing game is the long money game. This goes with this. So your upfront fee, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. If you come in and say, hey man, I want like $6,000 for the sync, they're gonna be like, where do they do that? Cause I'm not paying $6,000 for the sync. You can take this $2,500, you know? So this is where the flat fee kicks in. Because when you start pushing and inching on that flat fee to get as much as you want, then they're going to look at you and say, all right, well, we got somebody that's going to take $1,000. Don't even deal with them. The negotiation on these licenses take usually about 30 to 40 seconds most of the time. And then if you want to edit on that, I mean, you want to negotiate the back end, that may take you maybe after you agree to the fee, maybe... I don't know, another 12 hours to negotiate, because you want to make sure all parties are taken care of. But once that fee is set, it's not going to move, okay? Penny wise, pound foolish, all right? Trying to get too much, you might not get the sink. Understand that there's a lot coming on that back end, especially if it's going to be a great show. So take, and for instance, let's say the person who wrote the theme song to Martin. You know how long that show has been on air, right? Syndicated on air. And then it's been put in DVD box sets. It's the same as like Chappelle's show. Like Chappelle's show, right? You're on Comedy Central first. And then from there, it goes to the DVDs that do millions upon millions of dollars on units sold, all right? Don't get so greedy on that front end of the sync license that you kind of screw up the license altogether. Understand that there's a back end to that, okay? And then what else was a successful TV show today? I think everything in like the late 2000s, they started putting on DVDs and VHS and all that stuff like that, where people actually wanted to have this stuff in their homes. But now, you know, everything's on Netflix. There's a lot of back-end money, okay? Don't trip on the front end all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. With reality television, a lot of the reality television money is always, almost always on the back end. They will never give you an upfront fee, because you got to think, like, if some of you all watch Love & Hip Hop or Growing Up Hip Hop or any reality show, all that music, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say 9.5 times out of 10, does not come with the upfront fee. It's all back end, right? But then they run that show all the time. They just keep running it and running it and running it and running it. And then your back end adds up on television. Now, Netflix is another story. I've been hearing people talking about Netflix where, oh, they really don't pay too much. The fees aren't all that great. But it will be. Those fees will get better. You know, it's still a new space for all of this. All right. Still the wild, wild west out there. And everybody's still trying to settle on what will be fair. All right. So remember, there's always a publisher or licensor out there who will do a cheaper deal than you, because they're not greedy. All right. There's always somebody willing to take your sink off the table because you're too greedy and you're taking too long to negotiate the deal. And also, let me be frank with you. If a supervisor hits you in your email, right? And let's say you weren't thinking about it and you have a song ready to be synced right now. If they hit you in your email, okay, and you don't respond back usually within 2 hours at the max, chances are they moved on. And if you can't clear it by 5 o'clock at the end of the day, they'll go get somebody else. And they've got people lined up. If we can't get this one clear, we're gonna get this one, this one, this one. And this doesn't even mean that you're being greedy. It's just, you're not fast enough. Television clears in 24 hours or less, so you have to be ready to go. All right? Now, let's look at types of uses here, all right? And if you all have questions, go ahead and drop those in the comment section, all right? I'll answer those as they come in. Like I said, this is Synchronization Licenses 101. The very, very simple stuff, all right? Now, I'm gonna tell you what I have listed right here in my notes, and then you'll see these articles up after the show is over. But I'm also gonna go into a cue sheet that I have, and I'm gonna show you what they're called, the abbreviations that BMI and ASCAP call them. Okay, so types of uses. Instrumental. Instrumental is when a song is played without the lyrics. That's simple. Everybody has that, all right? Then you have the vocal, all right? Vocal is when someone is singing or humming the song or composition in the motion picture. Now, this pays a lot of money, okay? When someone, let's say, let's say it's Loretta Devine, right? She's in the kitchen making a birthday cake, and she's saying, "Happy birthday to you, happy." And she's singing Stevie Wonder's "Happy Birthday" from 1983, I think. I think 83 was the year that came out. That is going to pay a significant amount of money because it is written into the film, into the script, and then it's captured on the film. Okay, that one's going to pay the most. That's rarely done. But it is, okay? But it's rarely done. All right, then the next one will be the foreground. Now, this is the win-win. The song, this is when the song is played on picture and in its entirety without the character singing the song. So let's say we do a scene cut. We're going from, oh, perfect example, Insecure. All right, so Insecure, you know how the scene ends and then they have, boom, a cut to a lyric and a full song is playing something, right? Like, my favorite song from the last season was Likely 47, right? But I love Likely 47, her song Money, you know what I'm saying? Money, I got money. I ain't gonna cuss on you, but money, I got money. I got money, right? And so that comes on, that is a foreground example. Boom, happens. These will pay a lot as well. They're not gonna pay as much as people singing it in the show, right? But, you know what I'm saying? They'll get you a hefty fee. This is that $2,500 to upwards of, really for television, $2,500. But if you're doing movies, about $5,000, okay? So, but $2,500 will get you in the door right there. Maybe it might be cheaper at $1,750 and plus the back end, okay? And then background, which is like what you hear on a daily basis, this will be all reality show television, is when the conversation is heard in the background and no one is seen performing this song. This is when it's considered a background usage, all right? Now, let me give you the abbreviations for these. It's based off these cue sheets. This is what BMI, ASCAP, and all those companies calculate them as. So a background instrumental is what they call a background. It's abbreviated as BI. BV for background vocal, VI for visual instrumental, and VV for visual vocal. All right, that was the vocal one I was talking about. And then the visual, so that is what happens in the foreground of like a show, right? Let's say MTV. Okay, we have, it's kind of like, it's not a singer, but what happens is it ends up having maybe like 20 seconds, okay? Like 20 seconds of like an EDM track. Perfect. An EDM track is right there in the beginning of the scene. That would be called the visual instrumental. Okay, it doesn't have lyrics, but it is in the forefront. It's not playing underneath dialogue, but it is in the forefront. So that's what you would classify that as. All right, and then you have a main title theme, and then you also have an end title theme, okay? Cool. All right, so now that you have those, let's finish this out. Scope of use. Now this is what I was saying in the beginning. The first use will always be stated in the contract, meaning the first place the motion picture will live. Things change when the picture is added to Blu-ray, DVDs, or online streaming platforms. The afterlife of the film, meaning where it's going to live after its original home, should be negotiated at the time of its first use to prevent renegotiation or confusion in the future. Now, I know of a situation that I got to word this right because I don't want to give information out like that. But I know of a situation where the production company only negotiated for the first use of the music, and then going to the network, they had to go back and renegotiate because they didn't state that it would live somewhere else. It was only for online. So now you have to go back in your sync contract and totally redo what happened from the beginning. That's not a good move. You want to make sure that you cover all the ground from the jump. Because let's say if you're really doing this sync thing, this is your bread and butter, you don't have time to go back and renegotiate every contract. It gets confusing, all right? And it's a waste of your time too, okay? Because when you renegotiate, you're not gonna be getting all the time more another check. It's just, I gotta negotiate this. This has to fit here. It's a waste of time. You wanna, because you might be able to get more money on the front end if, and this is also because if the production company knows where the song is going to live, they may actually raise the rate. They may actually give you more money. Okay? So, that's that. All right? So that kind of in a nutshell is what the sync agreement is. I did not state the term. The term can take you from here to Alaska. That's something that's probably the only heaviest part that has to be negotiated. I wanted to dig into what the general elements of the sync agreement would be for you all. Okay. So I told you, I mean, like, today's show is going to be small. Anyway, you all can catch me at the Songwriter Social September 19th. That's Thursday at Ponce City Market in Atlanta, Georgia. And it'll be at the General Assembly. New ebook is coming. You can listen to this podcast tomorrow when it uploads, but it'll be up tonight. Hopefully, if you can catch it on Spotify tonight, it'll be there tonight. And then don't forget, follow me on Instagram at CaseyGraham_24 and Addition24Music and on Facebook and LinkedIn. Now, check it out. Some news for you all. It was kind of dry this week, man. Nothing really happened, all right? Nothing really happened this week. It was kind of dry. One thing that did happen, I want to make you all aware of this. Spotify has been buying up companies like crazy. I've been talking about Spotify for the last couple weeks. They're really on the ground doing some things. And so they bought the company SoundBetter. Now, SoundBetter was a company that like producers, writers, session musicians, engineers, mastering engineers, all these people could put up their profiles and then people could go seek them for work. Kind of like a Fiverr for the music community. This is a cool thing, but with them acquiring this, it's funny how all of these all of the articles that I've read on this, nobody seems to know what Spotify is going to do. Nobody. I mean, everybody's confused about this because we don't quite understand this investment here, and it doesn't quite make any sense. Yet, I think that it's pretty cool. I think that it's cool that they do this, but I think it's just an acquisition, and I don't feel like this will be implemented into Spotify's platform. All right. I'm looking at the banner. It says SoundBetter by Spotify for Artists, but I don't know how that's going to work. So we'll see in the future as that comes along. Also, YouTube says it will ban paid plays from its music charts, but is everyone doing it? Everyone's not doing this, okay? And my thing is, who cares if YouTube bans you from the charts? As long as you're getting paid for the streams, and if you paid for the streams, like, you know, if you did the pre-roll ad music video thing, then who cares? If you're getting exposure, you're getting exposure, because as an artist, your money is not coming from the stream, it's coming from everything else that you're doing out here, okay? So, I just wanna put that in your ear. It's really been dry this week. Nothing really has been happening outside of Spotify's acquisitions. Nothing new at Facebook yet. We're waiting for Facebook to implement its TikTok rival program in America. That's going on in South America, but we want to see it in North America. So when that happens, we'll know. Let's see. Deezer introduces a new payment system to directly compensate artists for their streams. That's interesting. I'd like to see that happen. And that is about it. And also, Small Claims Copyright Court is getting closer to reality. Okay? So this means that you can, just like you take anything else to Small Claims Court, you can take small copyright infringements to court. Some major companies are saying that this will cause abuse for the courts. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you can settle out of court for a small claim at, you know, like, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, I think it's cool, you know. That way you don't have to go through major litigation. I think that that's pretty cool. Anyway, any questions, you all, drop questions. I see you all on here watching, listening. If you have any questions, go ahead and drop them. And I will answer them really quickly. But like I said, I'm building a lot on this library. And if you all want your songs to be considered for television and film through my library, send them to go to district24music.com/submit. All right, fill out the form, put your song links in there. I'll check them out. We'll clear them up. Make sure that you're not with a major publishing company or in a publishing deal. I'm looking for self-published writers and producers only, all right? Go to district24music.com/submit, fill out the form, submit your music, I'll check it out, and we'll add it to the library, okay? All right? Anyway, you all, that has been today's show. I know it was kind of short. I planned on it being short. I gotta draw out a big plan for this synchronization side, so the next couple weeks we'll be working on that. That's the fun stuff. I know everybody wanted to hear it, they wanted to get to it, but that's what we'll be working on for the next couple weeks, at least for the next 3 to 4 weeks. The next month. The next month we'll be in synchronization. Alright? So anyway, I will holler at you all later. Thank you for listening. Until then, next week, I'll be right here, 8:30 live on Facebook, giving you all the game on this music license. All right? Peace.